Today's daf is Yuma daf Chaf Aleph. This is the last daf in the first parak of Maseches Yuma, and we are going to discuss the 10 nisim that occurred every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara is going to tell us about, try to identify how we list off the 10, because it seems that there are way more than 10. So we're going to have to try to figure out why certain nisim were omitted from the list. That's what we do on most of Amud Aleph and a little bit of Amud Beis. And then the Gemara is going to tell us about the Ashan HaMa'aracha, that the difference. One, it's going to list the five differences between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash.
Sponsorship.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Do you remember? Okay, you'll get it. So after I do the introduction, right? So the Ashan HaMa'aracha is one of the five differences between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, which the Gemara is going to list. And then we're gonna the Gemara is also going to list six types of fire in this world, and identify each one. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about how when the pillar of smoke would sway from the Mizbeach in one direction or the other, we'd be able to tell what kind of year it was going to be in terms of agriculturally. Today's shiur is sponsored by Mendy Yudin in Lezecha Nishmas, his grandmother, Lillian Yudin, Leah Bas Avram, Chaim Aleha Shalom, the Neshamish Rav Naliyah, and we thank Mendy very, very much for the sponsorship. So let us begin now at the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We are at the third line of the page, Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Shil. There are tons and tons of Hanukkah connections on today's daf. It's too much of a coincidence to call it a coincidence, kind of connections. So let's see. So says the Gemara, Tani Kavasei to Rav Shila. We learn that we have a brisa that supports Rav Shila. Remember, we were discussing yesterday what the term Kriyas HaGever means. The Mishnah had said, had mentioned the term Kriyas HaGever. That's when we do the Trumas HaDeshen on a normal day. So the Gemara had said that Rav held that it means Kara Gavra, when a person calls out, but Rav Shila held that it means Kara Tarnagola, when the rooster crows. So says Gemara, yesterday we had a brisa that supported Rav. Today we're going to have a brisa that supports Rabbi Shila. So Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Shila, we have a brisa that says just like Rabbi Shila, where the brisa is clearly going to indicate that Kriyas HaGever means when the rooster crows. Hayosi l'dar chodim Kriyas HaGever Dama Barosho. If someone goes out on a trip before Kriyas HaGever, so it's Dama Barosho, he's taking his own life into his hands, because there are Mazikin out there, and you're going and traveling in the nighttime is considered unsafe. The Mazikin could attack a person. This is mentioned also at the very beginning of Maseches Pesachim, that someone who goes out in the middle of the night, especially Yotzei B'derech Yechidi Balayla, goes out all alone at night, is Dama Barosho. Rabbi Yoshi Omer Ad Sheyishna V'yeshom Rat Sheyishalish. So Rabbi Yoshi says that he has to wait not just for one Kriyas HaGever, but till the rooster crows a second time, and some say even a third time. Ubeize Tarnagol Omru, which rooster do you have to wait for it to crow? Meaning different roosters probably crow at slightly different times. B'Tarnagol Beinoni, the average rooster, that's what we assume. So Sheinu Mimaher Kriyas of Loma Acher, Rashi says, one that doesn't crow too early, one that doesn't crow too late. So the average rooster, that's when you know that it's safe to go out on the road. Amar Rav Yudah Amarav, B'shal She'Yisrael Olam L'Regel, when Klal Yisrael went to be Olam L'Regel, Omdin Tzvufin U'Mishtachvin Revachim, they would stand in the Beis HaMikdash very tightly packed together. It was very crowded, yet when they would bow, there was plenty of space for everybody when they would bow. V'Nimshachin Achas Esrei Amah Achorei Beis HaKaporas, and the crowd was so large that it filled in the entire 11 Amah area behind the Beis HaKaporas. So that's how full the Chatzar got, that it even went off to the sides and filled in the 11 Amah area that was behind the Beis HaMikdash. So Maika Amar, so what does that mean, that it filled in the 11 Amah area behind? When they bowed, it filled in that area? Is that what we're saying? I thought we're trying to say that when they bowed, they didn't take up any more space than they did when they were standing up, and that was one of the great miracles, that even though they were bowing, it didn't take up any more space. So it says, this is what we mean to say. Even when they were standing, they filled in that entire 11 Amah area. That's how crowded it was. It was jam-packed. They filled in every last inch of the chatzar, so it was totally full. And even the 11 Amah area was packed while they were standing. Still, somehow, when they managed to bow, they bowed with plenty of space that everyone had room to bow. And that was one of the miracles. So a couple of points over here. First of all, there's a tshuva in the Tashbetz, Chelek Gimel Tshuva Lamed Zayin, where the Shoel wants to suggest that all of these nisim that we're about to list were all enabled us to be mekayim a mitzvah min haTorah. And he says, so what is the what mitzvah min haTorah does this nes enable us to be mekayim? So he says, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, because al yidei this nes, we were all able to be all the regel at the same time. Otherwise, how would there be room for all the Klal Yisrael? So it must be that the makom and the base of Mikdash expanded. And the Tashbit says, no, it's not correct. It can't be that it was the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, because the nes was on Yom Kippur, when they heard the Shema Mefurish, Yotzim Mepiko and Gadol, that's when everyone was Mishtachaveh. So it wasn't just, it wasn't on the Regalim. It was on Yom Kippur that this nes occurred. And Adrabah, on the Regalim, there wasn't enough room for everybody. That's why the Mishnayos and Pesachim go through how we would bring the Karban Pesach in three groups. We couldn't do it all in one group. There wasn't room for everybody at one time. They had to do it in three separate groups. They had to close the gates of the Azara and open them for the next group to come in and then close them again. So it wasn't, and also by the 7 days that are Tashlumin for a Karban Chagiga. Why do we need 7 days of Tashlumin for a Karban Chagiga? Because there wasn't room for everyone to bring it on time. So we needed 7 days to make up for it. But the Girsa in the Gemara is Kesha'olin Yisrael L'Regel, right? That's our Girsa in the Gemara. Not that it was Yom Kippur, it's Kesha'olin Yisrael L'Regel. So the Sefer C.S. Yitzchak explains that according to the Tashbetz, even though on Regalim they were Omdim Tzvufim, when they were, the point of the Gemara is, even on Regalim, when everyone came, they were very crowded, still on Yom Kippur, when they had to bow, there was plenty of room to bow on Yom Kippur. So it's in a chinami, on Regalim, it's Kesha'olin L'Regel. The Kesha'olin L'Regel is not on the Mishtachaveh part, it's on the first half of the sentence, that they were Omdim Tzvufim on Regalim. Nevertheless, when it came to bow on Yom Kippur, they were Mishtachaveh with plenty of space. The Reb Chaim in the Kisvei Agrach writes that even though even on the Regalim, you could say there was a Chiyuv Mishtachaveh, because he suggests that every time you enter into the Azara, there's a Chiyuv Mishtachaveh. The Gra writes this in Parshat Kisavo, that someone who's Yotzei B'Beis HaMikdash has to do Mishtachaveh, and that was a Takan of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola by Tefillas Musaf of Mem. So that's how the Anshei Knesset HaGedola formulated the Tefillas Musaf of the Regalim. V'shamna ala v'nir v'nishtachave lefanecha b'sholosh pa'amei ragleinu. What's v'nishtachave lefanecha? Who says we have to be nishtachave? Yeah, even on Regalim, every time a person goes into the Azara, there is a chiyuv of hishtachaveya. Someone who's nichnas lehechal and is mishtachave, so that solves the problem of bia reikonis. Otherwise, how are you allowed to enter at all? Because you're not allowed to enter and do nothing, so it has to be some sort of avoda. So what sort of avoda do we do? We go in and we're mishtachaveh. Also, the Gemara says in Masech Shavuos that Yudalad Ambeis, the shear of Bias Migdash is a shear ishtachaveya. So apparently, why is that the shear of Bias Migdash? Why is that called Bias Migdash, the amount of time that it takes to do ishtachaveya? Because that's the chiv that you have to do every time you come in, that there's a chiv of ishtachaveya. That's what Reb Chaim suggests. Another interesting ha'ara over here, there is a fascinating discussion in the Rishonim and the Midrashim why we needed this nes. What was the purpose of this nes? So Rashi says that it was so that each person shouldn't hear the other person's vidui. So you wanted enough space that everyone could bow without overhearing the next guy, because you don't want to hear all the averus that your neighbor is being misvada on. In Medrash Rabbah, it suggests that it's so that each person doesn't hear the other person's tefillah, and it's going to mess up their own tefillah, because sometimes it's very distracting when you hear other people's tefillahs. When you just hear a lot of noise, you hear a cold tefillah from a group of people, so that's inspiring. But sometimes you hear only one person, you hear the guy next to you, you just hear that davening, so that could be somewhat distracting. So this way, people couldn't hear each other so well. In the Balei HaTosfos al Torah, it says that the nes was that the Shechina was on them at the Shas Hishtachavaya, meaning whenever the Shechina is there, so then there's no space. Space restrictions don't happen. That's why the Aron was Eina Min Amida. The Aron didn't take up any space, because that's where the Ashras HaShechina was. So the Nes wasn't so much in the way the Nes expressed itself is the fact that we were able to bow without taking up any space. But the real Nes was the fact that we had Ashras HaShechina, and that's why we didn't take up any space, because Ashras HaShechina means that there's no space taken up. But my favorite Pshat is Rabbeinu Yonah. Not that there's any favorites, but Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, says, no, the nes was that when they would bow, no one was pushing. So it wasn't that they had more space. There was no extra space. But that all of Klal Yisrael was crowded in a small area, and they all had to bow, and no one was elbowing each other, and no one was pushing each other, and no one was trying to get the other guy out of the way to make room for himself. And that was the nace. The nace was that Klal Yisrael all managed in a crowded space, that we all managed to get along and not fight and not push like people often do in crowded areas. So it's some people find that explanation a little unsatisfying. What? That's the nace? That doesn't sound miraculous at all. I would argue that's a bigger miracle than any other of the other nisim that we suggest. It sounds like the Rambam holds that way. The Rambam in his Pirush in the Pirush Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos says that they were omdim ba'azara echa b'tzad ha'sheni, and at the time of Pishtach Havaya lo notzu lehem lachatz v'lo hoyu dochim ze'ezeh. Again, the Rambam emphasizes they didn't push each other, and that was a great nace that we managed to all get along at that time. This is also halacha l'maisa. There may be ramifications for this halacha l'maisa. Some things that we do as a zecher to the fact that we were mishtachave revachim, that we had plenty of space to be mishtachave, and she collects over here in Biri Adaf four different ramifications halacha l'maisa. And Shibole Aleket, they quote in the name of Gaon Echad that the makor of Arba Amos for Tfila is from this din of mishtachavim revachim, that they had all this space, because it says in the Medrash that each person in the Beis HaMikdash had dalet amos of space. That's sort of Menashe Klein in one of his tshuvas in one of the later volumes. Does a whole cheshbon of how much space, how big of a miracle it was. I think it comes out with 3 million square amos or something, that it was just a wild amount of extra space that we needed if we each have 4 by 4 amos. But that's where the idea comes from, that a person who's mispalel needs his own dalet amos to be mispalel in, if possible. Another ramification, the Siddur Tfilu L'Rokeach, he says that that's why we're nofel al apayim and we hide our face at tachnun, so that each person doesn't hear the other person's tefillah. That's why we put our heads down at tachnun, he suggests, similar to why we needed this extra space, so that each person didn't hear the other person's tefillah. The Bach, fascinating, had there was a shaila. There was two people sat next to each other in shul, and Reuven wanted to bring in his friend to sit in between himself and Shimon. An extra, wanted to squeeze an extra seat on the table. So Shimon said, I don't want an extra seat on this table. It's crowded enough over here. I don't need an extra seat in this row. So he said, we have to make space for him. I want my friend to sit near. So the Bach said that the person who's used to being mispalel beharvacha has a right to be tovea, that he doesn't want, assuming that there's space somewhere else in the shul. Yeah, but he has a right to say, if there's no space anywhere else in the shul, then obviously he's got to, you know, you got to make room for everybody. But assuming there's space somewhere else in the shul, you can't say you want this guy to sit next to me. There's a difference between being mispalel with extra space and being mispalel in a very very tight quarters. So that's why this nace had to happen, so that people could be mispalel properly. And then the Kafa Yashar, fourth ramification, says that Bizman should be some Migdash HaYakayim, the base of Migdash Shalmata was here. He says Bizman HaBayis, the Migdash Shalmata was Mistalik VaYorid Migdash Shalmala, and with the Nishmos Avoseinu, with all the Nishamos would come down and be mispalled together with us, and therefore that's why there were Omdim Tzfufim Umishtachavim Revachim. But Atabav Avoseinu Oravim, where we don't have a base of Migdash, we have to be Mazkir the Nishmos Hamesim BeBeis HaKnesses. He says that's why there were Mishtachavim Revachim, because it was really the Migdash Shalmala that had come down on the Migdash Shalmata. And that's why that great miracle happened. Nowadays, we don't have that, and therefore we have to bring the neshamos down. We can't bring the neshamos down, so we have to be maskil the neshamos. And that's where Yiskor comes from, he suggests. That's where the minhag of saying Yiskor, dafka on the regalim, because it was on the regalim that they had this nace occur. So that's why I say Yiskor, dafka on the regalim. That's what he suggests in the Kava Yashar. Okay, v'zeh echad me'asar nisim sh'nasu b'migdash. This was one of the 10 nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah, asar nisim, nasu b'Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 nisim that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ben Yoyada says these 10 nisim correspond to the 10 nisyonos of Avram Avinu, and the last nisayon was the Akedah on Har Maria. So that's according to some Rishonim, at least. So that's why these 10 nisim all occurred b'makom hazeh. They all occur on Har Abayis. So what are these 10 nisim that occurred? So it's pointed out. Cheskel Levinstein points out there are many other nisim. These are the nisim, as the Gemara is going to say explicitly, these were the nisim that we were all able to see and appreciate. But there were plenty of other nisim that happened lefnim as well. So what are these nisim? Number one, lo ipili isha mireach basar hagdish. No woman ever had a miscarriage from smelling the fresh meat of hagdish, where off often if a woman has a craving for something, so if we don't give it, it's considered cholish sheish b'sakana. If we don't give it to her, if a pregnant woman has a craving for something, so we have to give it to her, otherwise it's considered cholish sheish b'sakana. So when it was basar hegdish, Rashi says, we didn't have to give it to her because we knew that no one was ever going to miscarry as a result of the smell of basar hegdish. Number two, v'lo estriach basar hegdish me'olam. Basar hegdish never spoiled. Number three, v'lo niritz vuv b'beis ha-mitbachim. With all the animals that they were slaughtering and butchering and cutting apart, there was never a fly in the Beis HaMitbachim, in the Beis HaMikdash. Number four, v'lo ira keri l'koin gadol b'yom ha-kippurim. A koin gadol never became a bal keri on Yom HaKippurim. Number five, v'lo nimtza psul ba'omer b'shtei alechem b'lechem apanim. The omer b'shtei alechem b'lechem apanim never became pasul, and therefore never required, meaning, and because had they become pasul, it would have been serious problems. What would have been the problem? So what if it becomes pasul, just bring another one? So says Rashi, v'lo nimtza psul ba'omer shim yerebo psul ein acher lahavi tachtav. There was no backup. There was no way to bring another one if they were to become pasul. Shu niktzar b'lel motzai yom tov, because the omer was niktzar on the night of motzai yom tov rishon, ve'in mar bin niktzar elik fi ashir. But we only would do a ketziras omer based on exactly what we need of a shalisara menufa b'yud gimel nafa, of an isara and a flower that's going to have to go through 13 sieves. The chen shtei alechem nef in me erev yom tov, and also the shtei alechem of shuvus was baked on erev yom tov. Ve'inaf yasan doch yom tov. You weren't allowed to bake it on yom tov. So if the psul would happen, then we wouldn't be allowed to bake new ones on yom tov. Vim yifsal lo yofu acheres b'yom tov. The chen lechem apanim, and the same with the lechem apanim. Shenef me erev Shabbos. They were baked on erev Shabbos. Vim yifsal ein chiluf, and therefore if they become pasul, there's nothing else. There's nothing else we'd be able to put in its place. So that was one of the great miracles, that these three karbanos that didn't have a plan B, there was no way to solve it if something happened bad, if there was a psul, so psul just never happened. The sixth miracle, Omdim tzvufim mishtachvim revachim, that they, when they stood, the miracle we were just talking about, when they stood up, it was crowded, but when they bowed down, there was plenty of space. V'lo hizik nachash v'akrev Yerushalayim me'olam, and in Yerushalayim no nachash or akrev ever caused any damage. And v'lo amar adam l'chaver tzar li amakom sha'alin b'Yerushalayim. No one ever said that that it's too hard to find a hotel room in Yerushalayim, that it's too difficult to find a space in Yerushalayim. Everyone always had a place to sleep in Yerushalayim. So these last two, we notice I didn't continue counting because Pasuk b'Mikdash v'Siyam b'Yerushalayim. These last two weren't about the Mikdash; they were about Yerushalayim. We just said that there's supposed to be 10 miracles that occurred in the base of Mikdash. So it says Mar Ikatarti Achronyasa b'Mikdash. There are two more that you have to say happened in the base of Mikdash. D'Tanya, as the Brisa says, number seven, May Olam Lo Kavu Gesham Eish Shal Atzei Ma'aracha, that the rain never put out the fire of the Atzei Ma'aracha on the Mizbeach. It's the fire kept on going no matter how heavy the downpours would be, no matter how much it would rain. The fire stayed. And number eight, va'ashana ma'aracha afilu kala rucha shabiyolim ba'os menashlus bo ein mazizus osomi mekamo. The smoke of the ma'aracha with all the wind could come from any direction and it wouldn't move it. The smoke would go straight up without being swayed in one direction or the other. So says Mar v'suleka, are there no further ones? Aren't there others? Va'atani Rav Shmaya b'kal Navo says that there is this ninth one. Remember, there's supposed to be 10. The way the Gemara is assuming right now is that we're already at 10, because the Gemara is assuming right now that not having a psul in the Omer, Shtei Alechem, Lechem Apanim, are three different things. At the end, we're going to say that's not really three different things, and therefore what we're about to mention now is the ninth one. But the Gemara is assuming right now we already hit the number 10, and the Gemara is asking, wait, there's another one! That Shivrei Kli Cheres, Nivloin B'Mekoman, when they would have to break a Kli Cheres, so it would the shards would become swallowed up in the ground at the right on the spot. If they would cook Kachay Kachim, they would be Mevashel Kachay Kachim in Kli Cheres, so the Blios that are in the Kli, the Blios from the meat that they cooked in that kli become asr, they become nosar. So the halacha is that a kli cheres, you can't kasher it, so what do? You do shvira, you have to break the kli cheres. But the problem was, the shvira has to be b'makom kadosh. So then the pile would just get out of hand, the amount of kli cheres that were that had to be broken in the spot. So in main nivlam, so ash p'sos shel shvarim ba'azara, you just have full garbage dumps full of shivrei kli charis in the azara, if they wouldn't be nivla, Rashi says. So is nivlan b'mekoban. Va'amar Abaye, and Abaye also says, mora v'notza v'dishum izbeach ha'pnimi v'dishum menorah nivlan b'mekoban. The crop and the feather and the feathers of birds that they shechted, and the dishum izbeach ha'pnimi, the ashes they removed from the inner izbeach, and the ashes they removed from the menorah, all of them were nivlan b'mekoban. They were swallowed up in their spot. So that's our first mention of menorah in today's daf on Chanukah, but we're going to have a much more serious Chanukah connection. But anyway, these should be on the list of miracles. And says Gemara, psulei tlasa havu chashvinu b'chad. No, really, when we said that there was never a psul in the lechem apanim, or the shtei lechem, or the omer, that really only counts as one. You don't count that as three different things. So apik trei va'il trei. So therefore, we're down to eight, and we add these last two that we just mentioned about the blia of the klei cheres and the blia of the feathers and the ashes in the ground. So frankly, Gemara yachi blu anami trei havu chashvinu b'chad chasru lehu. Well, wait a second. If all the different psulim of three different types of korbanos counts as only one item on the list, shouldn't the fact that all different types of things are swallowed up in the ground count as one item on the list? Why do you count the kli cheres separately from the ashes and the feathers, etc.? They should all count as one thing. The fact that things got nivlan in the ground in the base of Midrash. So therefore, we're back down to only nine miracles. Says Mari Ika Nami Akriti. Don't worry, there's a tenth one. Dam Rabbi Shub and Levi, Neis Gadol Hayinasa Belechem Apanim. Siluko Kisiduro. The Lechem Apanim was a great miracle. When they would remove it from the Shulchan 1 week later after baking it, it was still just as fresh as when they put it on the Shulchan. Shneemar, as the pasuk describes by the Lechem Apanim, Lasum Lechem. That it was warm, like on the day it was taken off, it was still warm. Not just the day that it was put on. So says the Gemara, okay, those are 10 miracles, 10 great miracles that occur in the Beis Hamikdash. Are there no more? But wait a second, we could think of a couple more. V'su leka, v'am Rav Levi, davar zeh mesoros b'yadeinu mi'avaseinu. We have a mesorah from our forefathers. Makom aron eino min amida. That the aron didn't take up any space. So that's a great miracle. One could argue that's the greatest miracle. We can't even envision what that means, that it's Eina Min Amida. We can't even envision how that works. Kriyas Yamsuf L'mashal, we can envision how that works. That we don't know how it happened, but we can see it. We can imagine it. We can picture in our mind how it would happen. What does Eina Min Amida even mean? How does that... It's difficult to even fathom. So how does that not get counted? V'am Rabbi Noy Yom Rishmol, Kruvim B'nei Sayyomdin. And there's another one. The Kruvim stood completely miraculous. Why did it require a miracle for the Kruvim to stand? So Rashi points out, the Kruvim stood on the ground right next to the Aron, one to the north, one to the south, and their wings spread out 20 amos from one wall to the other. So if their wings spread beyond where their bodies were, and their wings took up the same amount of space that there was in the entire room, well, then there was no room for the bodies of the Kruvim, and yet the Kruvim fit. So the fact that the Kruvim fit, it was very similar to Makom Aron Eino Min Amida, that there wasn't enough space for it, and yet somehow it managed to fit. So answers the Gemara, those are very great miracles. The reason we don't count them is Nisi Dabroi Kachashiv, Nisi Degavai Lo Kachashiv. We're only counting those miracles that were outside, that people were able to see. Things that happened all the way inside where people weren't able to see them, those don't get counted on the list. Ihachi Lechem Apanim Nami Nisi Degavai Havi, Nisi Degavai Hu, Lechem Apanim was a Nisi Degavai, it was inside, it wasn't outside. Sansu Gemara, Lechem Apanim Nisi Degavai Hu. No, Lechem Apanim was an outdoor nes, it was an outside nes, it was an external nes, it was nes people were able to appreciate. Why? Damrei Shlakish, my dechsev al haShulchan Atar. What does the pasuk mean when it says al haShulchan Atar? Tar mechal shul tamei. Tar sounds like the shulchan has the possibility of becoming tamei. Well, how's that possible? Kli eitz haasu lenachasu. The shulchan is a kli eitz that's made to stay in its place and never to be moved. And mechal kli eitz haasu lenachas ena mekabel tuma v'chol tzitz b'fnei tuma. Any kli eitz that's never supposed to be moved and is supposed to just stay stationary in one spot, is not mekabel tuma. So how can we refer to the shulchan as a shulchan atar, which implies that there's a possibility that the shulchan can become tamei? So says the Gemara, yes, there is, because it is not a kli etza asur l'nachas. The shulchan is not supposed to always stay in its place. There's a time where we lift up the shulchan. When would we lift up the shulchan? El malamit shemagbino sala oli regalim. When people would come to be ol regal, they would daf to lift up the shulchan va'omrim lahem, and they would announce, they would draw everyone's attention to the shulchan, and they would say, Ru'uchi baschem lufnei amakom. Look how beloved we are to the Ribbono shel Olam. Shesiluko kisiduro. That when we remove these breads from the shulchan, they're every bit as fresh as they were when we put them on the shulchan. Shemar lasum lachem chom biyomi lacho. Like the pasuk says, biyomi lacho, that they're chom biyomi lacho. So that's the idea of the. That's why the lachem apanim counts, even though it was located inside, but it was a nace that everyone was able to appreciate outside as well, since they made a big deal about it, they lifted it up and they demonstrated and showed it to everybody else. So says Gemar, but still there's one more. V'su leka, isn't there another miracle? V'amra b'oshia b'shah shabana shlomo beis hamigdash. When Shlomo HaMelech built the beis hamigdash, natabo kol mine megadim v'shal zahav, he planted golden fruit trees. V'imotzin perosein bizmanan. And these golden fruit trees grew fruit made of gold, that were actually golden fruits. Uksharuach minasheves, and when the wind blew, uksharuach minasheves ben, noshrin, the fruit, these golden fruits would fall off the trees. Shenema rash kalavanon pirio, that it would rustle like the levanon, the fruits would rustle like the levanon, just like in the levanon, when the winds blow, the fruits fall off the trees by any tree. So it happened over here also. Ukshenich nesu nachrim lehechol, there's our second Hanukkah connection. Ukshenich nesu nachrim lehechol, so when the nachrim came into the hechol, in the Midrashim it says different. It says when Menashe brought Avodah Zarah into the Heichal. But that's not what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says when the Nachrim came into the Heichal, Yavish, then it dried out. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, I mean, this is not referring to the Hanukkah story in all likelihood, but still, at some point when Nachrim came into the Heichal, it dried out. As the Pasuk says, Uparach Levanon Umlal, that it devastated the Parach of the Levanon, the fruits of the trees. Vasra Kodesh Baruch Laksirim, but Hashem is going to bring it back one day, Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Paroach Tifrach V'Sagel Afgilas V'Ranein Kavod Alavonon Nasan La Hashem Nasan La, rather, that we're going to rejoice in the blossoming of these trees again, and there's going to be joyous singing, etc. So again, bottom line is we have a question. Why isn't this one of the miracles? If there were 10 miracles and we already listed all 10, what happened to this one? This seems pretty miraculous that a golden tree would bear fruit and the fruits would blow off and we'd have all these golden fruits and then more golden fruits would take their place. That's quite miraculous. And so Gemara, Nisi to Kaviya Loka Chashiv, Nisim that were Kavua, that were happened constantly, that stayed in their place and were constantly there, that we don't mention. We only mention Nisim that happened when they happened, not Nisim that were constant 24/7. Now, once we have that answer, the Aron and the Kruvim is not a kashi either. I mean, you don't have to say that Nisim de Gavoy lo kachashiv, that we don't count Nisim that happened inside. Even if we do count Nisim that happened inside, the Aron and the Kruvim wouldn't count because that was kavua, that was 24/7. Amar Mar, Va'ashana Ma'aracha. So we spoke about the Ashana Ma'aracha, the smoke from the Ma'aracha, from the pile of wood on the Mizbeach. Was there in fact smoke that came out of the Ma'aracha? Tanya, we have a brisa that tells us, there are five things that we say about the fire of the Ma'aracha. Number one, it's revutza ka'ari, it crouches like a lion. Number two, bara kacham, it's clear like the sun. Number three, v'yeshba mamish, it has substance to it. Number four, va'ochl nachem kivashin, it consumes moist like it consumes dry things. And the fifth thing is ve'enem ala ashan, that there's no smoke that comes out of the esh shel ma'aracha. So the fifth item on this list is that there is no smoke. So how can we keep talking about the ashan of ma'aracha? There was no ashan of ma'aracha. It didn't produce any smoke. So says Mark, ki kamrinan bida hedyot. No, the ashan of ma'aracha of hedyot did produce smoke, meaning there was an ashan that there was a fire that came down min hashamayim, and then there was a fire that we would have to bring on our own. Titania, like the Brisa tells us, v'nasnu b'nei Aaron hakohen esh al mizbeach, that the b'nei Aaron hakohen had to bring a fire on the mizbeach. Even though an Eish comes down from Shemayim, still there's a mitzvah to bring an Eish min ahedyot. That's what the Yafamara and many of the Bali Musar point out, that the point over here is, the Midrashim pretty much say it explicitly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our help. He wants our mitzvahs, though. He wants things to be from the Kochab Demilatasim, say from our efforts and from our. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to bring an Eish min HaShemayim. I'm capable of doing anything. But I want to see the mice of human beings. I want to see people make an effort to do mitzvahs. Then how it actually happens, what will actually consume the karbanos, that's irrelevant. Our hishtadlus is irrelevant to what creates the result. We just need to do our hishtadlus in order for the Ribono Shel to make the result happen. Revutza ka'ari, so we said it's revutza ka'ari, that it crouches like a lion, this fire. So says Gemara Vatanya, Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim, Aniri, Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim says that he personally saw it, revutza ka'kelev, and it wasn't like a lion, it was crouching like a dog. So says Gemara Lokasha, Kan b'mikdash Rishon, Kan b'mikdash Sheni. That's the difference between the Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni. O b'mikdash Sheni mi'avai, but wait a second, was there this fire in the Mikdash Sheni, the fire that came in Hashemayim? V'am Rav Shmuel bar Inya, Maiduch Siv, why is it that in the pasuk when it describes in the Navi Chagai when he describes the ekevda, so it's spelled without a hey in the nevuah, so why is it missing a hey? Because the hey refers to five things that were different between Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni. The elu hein, and those five differences are Aron, the Kapores, Ukruvim, that counts as one. The Aron, the Kapores, and the Kruvim, the whole Aron area. The Eish, that wasn't there in the Mikdash Sheni. Eish, the Eish min HaShemayim, didn't come down in the Mikdash Sheni. Ushchina, we didn't have the Ashras HaShchina in Mikdash Sheni. V'Ruach HaKodesh, we lost the ability for Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah in Mikdash Sheni. V'Urim V'Tumim, and we also didn't have the Urim V'Tumim in Mikdash Sheni. So that's what the Hey is for. That tells us the five things that were missing in the Mikdash Sheni. So says the Gemara, Amri in mahava hava siyo lo mesayaya. No, they existed. The Eish min HaShemayim existed in Mikdash Sheni. It just didn't actually help to consume the karbanos. Meaning we just had a kasha. How can you say that there was the difference between the Eish and Mikdash that came in HaShemayim in Mikdash Rishon? Mikdash Sheni was that in Mikdash Rishon it looked like a lion, in Mikdash Sheni it looked like a dog. We just learned that there are five things that didn't have in Mikdash Sheni, and one of them was the Eish. So the Gemara's answer no was that we did have the Eish in Mikdash Sheni, but it means we didn't have the Eish helping to consume the karbanos in Mikdash Sheni. That's what was missing in Mikdash Sheni. And this Nevuah, this Pasuk is our real Hanukkah connection for the day, because this Nevuah of Chagai is a Nevuah about Hanukkah. When Chagai was Misnave, when he says this Pasuk, V'artzabavi Kavda, the five Dvarim that are the difference between Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni is this Nevuah of Chagai was all about Chanukah. When Chagai said, "Mi b'chem anishar shara es habayis hazeh b'kvodo arishon, umatem ro mosata lo kamo ka'ein b'neichem," that you look at the second base of Mikdash, and if you saw the first base of Mikdash, you think the second base of Mikdash is a joke. It's nothing compared to the first base of Mikdash. V'ata chazak zrubavel v'chazak yeshu ben yotzadik ha'kohen gadol v'chazak kolam aretz ki ani etchem nu mashem ki cho amar Hashem tzvakos. That entire nevuah that Chagai tells us is about the Neis Chanukah. That in spite of the fact that Mikdash Sheni was missing five things, and there was no Nevuah in that Tekufa, and they knew that this Beis HaMikdash was ultimately going to be destroyed, still he's misnavi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a great Neis to show that this Bayis is Malei Kavod, that it's full of Kavod, and that Gadol Kavodo Mikvod HaBayis HaRishon, that the Kavod of the Bayis HaAchron is even greater than the Kavod of the Bayis HaRishon. So that's what Chagai was trying to tell us, that he was telling us how the Neis of Chanukah is going to demonstrate the great Kavod that the second base of Mikdash has. Rav Shechter points out in Be'ikvei Etzon, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, just to expand a little more now, in Simen Yotes, that you could explain this Nevuah of Chagai. Seems like a very strange Nevuah, because what's Chagai saying? Yeah, we don't have anything here. We don't have Nevuah, we don't have Nerun Vitumim, we don't have all the five things we don't have. But still, it's Gadol Kavod Achron Min HaRishon. Why? Because some candles lit for 8 days. That's why it's gadol kavod abayis achron. What made? Why is that something that makes this a greater kavod than the first base of mikdash? Adrabba, I would think those nisim were much more impressive. What makes the second base of mikdash better? So Rav Shakta points out, maybe you could explain this based on the nevuah of Zechariah. Zechariah in Perek Dalet sees a menorah zahav. That this miraculous idea of these two trees that on their own the olives come out and get smushed and oil drips from them straight into the menorah, like the whole thing happens in an automated way where the olives just come right off of the trees, the wind blows and comes right off of the trees, they get squeezed a little bit, some oil comes down through a pipe right into the menorah and everything lights on its own. So this wild type of vision that he had. So the Malach explains to him that it's a reference to the Shnei Bnei HaYitzar, the Keren Kohuna, and the two olive trees relate to the Keren Kohuna and Malchus that are Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha. That's what the vision of the two olive trees represent. So he sees this Tkufa of Kohuna and Malchus and of a Mikdash Mefuar, of an unbelievable Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi says, what are you talking about? That doesn't happen in the Bayis Sheni. The Kohuna in Bayis Sheni, you know what the Kohuna was like in Bayis Sheni? We already saw multiple times in this Messiah. The Lishchas Paredrin wasn't really called Lishchas, but wasn't really its name. Why do we call it Lishchas Paredrin? Because like the Paredrin of the Melech, that changes over more than once a year, that changes over every year, the Kohen Gadol changes over more than once a year. We went through how many hundreds of Kohanim Gadolim they had to go through, and how the office was purchased, we just learned a couple of days ago, of Kohen Gadol. This is the great vision of Kohuna that he has for the second base of Mikdash. So the Navi doesn't understand. Ma'ela Adonai, what's going on over here? So what are these zaysin that are nimsakim me'aleim, that the shemen comes out into the neros all on their own, as if to show that there's going to be this fantastic malchus and kuna gedola that what didn't exist in the bayis sheni? So the Malach responds in the Navi in Zechariah, says zed dvar Hashem el zrubav elemar lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach kiyim baruchi. So what does he mean to say lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach kiyim baruchi? So the Briska Rav in his commentary on Tanakh says in the name of Reb Chaim, not commentary on Tanakh, in his comments on Tanakh, says in the name of Reb Chaim, in the name of his father Reb Chaim, that the Rambam is masbir in the sixth parak of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the reason that Kedusha Rishona was kitchel l'shaita v'lo kitchel l'asalavo, the reason Kedusha Rishona didn't last, whereas Kedusha Shnia was kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel l'asalavo, the Kedusha of the second Beis HaMikdash did last, was that Kedusha Rishona happened with kibush, it happened with koach, it happened with gevura. So that kibush, so the second the Umos Olam overpowered us, so it was gone, the kedusha was gone. But the second kedusha, when Ezra came up and was makdash the second Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't bekibush, it was bechazaka that we were makdash in it was beruach. What does it mean beruach? That lev melachim biyad Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines what the Umos Olam are going to think and what they're going to choose to do for us. And they allowed us to build. They allowed us to build the second Beis HaMikdash. That doesn't go away. It wasn't our own koach that did it. It was beruach. It was the ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu influencing the Umos Olam to allow us to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's never going to be batal. That kedusha, even after the Churban Bayis Sheni, is going to remain there. And therefore, what's this great nevuah that Zechariah is seeing of Malchus and of Kohuna and of a Mikdash Mefuar? Yeah, he's seeing the Kedusha that begins with the second Beis HaMikdash. It just doesn't express itself fully during the Tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash. It only fully expresses itself when we have the third Beis HaMikdash. But it's really all about the third Beis HaMikdash, which the Bayis Sheni was the yesod of. The Bayis Sheni, the Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni, is the foundation upon which the third Beis HaMikdash is built, and that's what Zechariah Navi saw in the Nevuah. So based on that, we can understand the Nevuah of Chagai that we were just learning about in this daf, that even though there was a Chalisha Sadas for everybody, that the Bayis Sheni was not like it used to be, it was Chaser, it was missing all these five things, Chagai was misnavei, and he said, Gadol yeh kavod ha-bayis hazeh ha-achron min ha-rishon. This bayis ha-achron is going to be greater than the rishon. This bayis sheni, you should realize, what you see right now is a foundation. It's like looking at when they pour the foundation of a building and saying, that building doesn't look so impressive. Yeah, because it's not there yet, but that foundation is such a powerful foundation, they're going to be able to build a skyscraper on that foundation. Doesn't look like it when you just see that the foundation being poured. That's what Chagai was saying. He was saying that Godel Kavod HaBayis, and that's why he used the term Ha'acharon. Ha'acharon, the second base of Mikdash is the Bayis Ha'acharon. No, because the second base of Mikdash is the Son Musad upon which the third base of Mikdash is going to be built. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of showed us that he's interested in that, that he's that this actually has a high level of Kedusha, is by making this one nace that was going to show us that there was something special about this spot. And that one nace is the nace of Chanukah. So he said, that's why, Rav Shechter points out, that's why we were able to be Kovei Yontif. Because any time the Chazal or Kovei Yontif that's going to last Lidoros, it has to be a Yontif that's about Lo'as Lava, that's about Geula. We only have Rishus to be a Kovei Yontif for Naschalta de Geula. So just like in the days of Purim, there were Kovei Yontif, because they believed that that was going to lead to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So too, in the days of the Chashmonaim, this does lead to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This does lead to Geula, because that Yontif represents the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's going to be a Bayis HaShlishi. Okay, so that's our Chanukah. It's a significant Tafyomi coincidence for the day. Says Gemara Vayter, Tan Rabbanan, Sheish Isho Sein, there are six types of fires in the world. Yesh Ochelos Vein Eshel Seh. Some consume food, but they don't liquids they don't consume. Some consume liquids, but not solids. Some consume both solids and liquids. Some consume moist things like dry things. There's an esh that pushes away another esh. There's an esh that consumes another esh. The Marsham writes in the Tshuva, electricity is not one of these ishim. So you see, electricity doesn't have a din of esh. He says electricity is an entire different type of ash. Turn on a light bulb, you could turn it off and then turn it back on again. What kind of ash does that? That after you extinguish it, it could be relit. Never happens. So he says that's his raya against Reb Chaim Weizer. Not his main raya, but that's one of his things. He says against Reb Chaim Weizer. Reb Chaim Weizer held that an electric light bulb has din of ash. He would make a bari more ash every Masoi Shabbos on an electric light bulb just to be mochiach that is din of ash. It's a melacha d'oraisa to turn on a light bulb. But Marsham writes in the Tshuva that you see that it's not a type of ash. Okay, yesh ash achelos v'nesho. So hadi done. What's an ash that consumes solids but not liquids? Our fire. You put liquids on our fires and they go out. Shosaveno chelos tuchulin. That consumes liquids but not solids. That's for cholin. That's sick people. Sick people have a fever. They need to drink a lot, but not. They don't eat too much. Ochelos v'shosa deliyahu. Eats and drinks. That's Eliyahu's fire. Duxiv esamayim ashabetal lelach. Licked up the water also. Ochelos lachin kiyevation demaracha. It consumes moist and solid thing and dry things. That's the eitz of the maracha. Yesh eish docha. To Gavriel. A fire that pushes away another fire is the fire of Gavriel when he saved Hanani Mishael Vazari in Kifshana Eish. He brought the fire, he brought the heat of the fire outside, like we learned at the end of Mesechus Pesachim. The Eish Eish Ocheles Eish, and there's an Eish that consumes another Eish, the Shechina. That's the fire of the Shechina. Damar Hoshiletzba'o Beinayim Vesarfan. That Kosh Baruch Hu put his finger between the Malachim and burnt up all the Malachim. The Malachim are made of Eish, so Hashem's Eish consumes the Eish of the Malachim. Vashem Aracha, Afil Kalaruch. So one of the things we said is that the smoke of the maracha, no matter how much wind would blow, wouldn't move one bit. But wait a second, is that really true? Didn't Rav Yitzchak Rav Dimi teach us Motzoi Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag on Motzoi Shmini Atzeres, Hakol Tzofen La'ashon Ma'aracha, everyone would look toward the Ashon Ma'aracha to figure out what kind of year it was going to be. Note the Klapet Tzofen, if it would blew northward, Aniyim Smechen U'Balibatim Atzavin. So the Aniyim would be very happy and the Balibatim were sad. Because it meant that there was going to be a lot of rain that year, which was great for the Aniyim because it meant a lot of fruit was going to grow, but it was bad for the Balibatim because it meant that anything that they had stored up is going to, under moist conditions, spoils very quickly. So they're going to lose all their food unless they sell it very cheaply, very quickly, which is also great for the aniyim. Nataklape darum, if it headed to the south, aniyim atzevin balibatim smechem. Then it was the reverse, because then it was going to be very dry conditions. So the pears were going to last a long time, and the people who sold fruits were going to be able to sell it for top dollar. Nataklape mizrach, if it went toward the east, hakol smechem, everyone was happy. Klape marav, hakol atzevin, if it went toward the west, everyone was sad. But bottom line is, you see, the smoke went in one direction or another. It didn't just stand still. So dazal vasi kedikli vavduri lav mivdar. Now it meant that the smoke didn't scatter. It was a pillar that would sway a little bit in one direction or another, but it wouldn't actually scatter like smoke normally would. Amar mar klapi mizrach kol smeichem klapi marav kol atzavin. Or a minu, but I'll ask a stira. Mizrachus the olam yafa. We said that a ruach mizrachus is always good. Maravis the olam kasha. A western wind is always bad. So bottom line is so that's against what we just said. We just said that when it's klape marav atzavin, that means it's an eastern wind. But now we're saying maravis is the olam kasha. So that the eastern wind is good and the western wind is bad. So it says ruach tzvonis yafa l'chitin. So we're just going to finish up the line before we answer the question. Ruach tzvonis yafa l'chitin, and the northern wind is good for the wheat. B'shashi v'yushlish, that has grown one third of its growth. V'kashal l'zesim v'zman shein chotin, and it's not good for olives that are just sprouting. Ruach dromis kashal l'chitin b'shashi v'yushlish v'yafa l'zesim v'zman shein chotin. The southern wind is bad for the wheat and good for the olives. V'amar av yosef v'yitem marzutra, the way to remember which wind is good for what. V'simenayich shulchan b'tzafon u'menorah b'darum. There's another mention of menorah in today's daf. The shulchan was in the tzafon. What went on the shulchan? Things made out of wheat. What went in the menorah? Things made out of olives. So that's the way to remember which wind was good for what. The southern wind was good for that which is in the south. The northern wind was good for that which was in the north. Bottom line is, though, we have a question over here. Is the eastern wind good or bad? And the western wind good or bad? Says Mar Lokasha, Halan Vahalahu. It depends where you live. If you live in Eretz Yisrael or you live in Bavel. The eastern wind is good in Eretz Bavel because it's a moist type of land, but it's not so good in Eretz Yisrael, and vice versa for the western wind. Hadron Lach Shavis Yom Bezashem. Tomorrow we'll begin the second parish.